Airbus sets a record, but not the record. Boeing confirms another Dreamliner delay. And Libya is found guilty of an airliner bombing. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, January 17th, 2008. Airbus released its final 2007 sales figures for the year on Wednesday, and as expected, set a new one-year sales record for the company, but missed topping Boeing's staggering 1,413 sales. Airbus reported 1,341 net orders for 2007, and that beats 2005, its previous best year, by 292 aircraft. The 2007 sales would have been worth $157 billion at list prices, although significant discounts to hold on to customers through delays in product development have been acknowledged by Airbus. While the largely symbolic sales crown slipped away, Airbus's 2007 numbers did include some significant achievements for the year. CEO Tom Ender said the company delivered 453 planes, beating Boeing's 411. And delivery is, after all, when the companies get paid most of the money. At least as important, Ender says Airbus met its internal cost savings targets as it fights to overcome overruns, delays, and cancellations in its A380, A350, and military development programs. Ender's noted, quote, 2007 was a challenging but also successful year for Airbus. 2008 will be as challenging on all fronts, unquote. One of the challenges rival Boeing will face in 2008 is a drop in the number of expected deliveries of its 787 Dreamliner to zero. Boeing confirmed on Wednesday that the program will be delayed another 3 months, with deliveries now expected to begin in early 2009 rather than late this year. Scott Carson, president and CEO, said the fundamental design and technologies of the 787 remain sound, quote, however, we continue to be challenged by startup issues in our factory and in our extended global supply chain. Our revised schedule is based upon updated assessments from the 787 management team of the progress we have made and the lessons we have learned to date. This includes our experience on the factory floor, completing production work on the airplane that was originally intended to be done by our suppliers. We are deeply disappointed by what this delay means for our customers, and we are committed to working closely with them as we assess the impact on our delivery schedules, unquote. Regarding the effect of the delay on its financials, Boeing says there should be no impact on 2007, and any difference in 2008 should be minimal. The company says the outlook for its defense business and in-production commercial airplane programs remains very strong. A U.S. federal judge has ordered the government of Libya and six of its officials to pay a total of about $6 billion in damages arising from the mid-air suitcase bombing of French-operated UTA Flight 772, a DC-10 widebody. The 1989 attack killed 170 people from Europe, Africa, and the United States, and was one of the deadliest terrorist events in commercial aviation history before September 11th. It came only 9 months after a similar suitcase bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland. That one killed 270 people. Stuart Neuberger, the lead lawyer for the victim families, said, quote, this award proves that the rule of law will always prevail over state-sponsored terrorism. Indeed, it is because of rulings like this that Libya has rejected terrorism and rejoined the civilized nations of the world, unquote. There was a time when the award would have been largely symbolic, but improving relations between the U.S. and Libya means it may actually get paid. The Libyan government has said it will honor U.S. court decisions, and the end of trade sanctions means there is a revenue flow from the U.S. to Libya, which could be garnished if no payment was forthcoming. Libya also could appeal the decision if it acts before February 25th. If the FAA was hoping opposition to TRACON consolidation would lose its novelty, it was mistaken. On Monday, Southern Region Director John McCartney and four other FAA officials listened to questions and concerns from skeptical air traffic controllers, homeowners, pilots, and legislators about the planned move of the Palm Beach TRACON to Miami International Airport. The South Florida Sun-Sentinel reports McCartney told them, quote, this is nothing new. There will be no change to the level of service or the level of safety. What we fully expect is greater efficiency, unquote. Not many people in attendance were buying that. Communications outages like those which have recently plagued other consolidated facilities were among the concerns expressed. The officials at Monday's meeting in Palm Beach didn't have details to offer on those questions. Jim Marinitti, the NATCA chief for Miami, commented, quote, "You got no documentation, you got no contingency plans, you've got nothing but talk," unquote. Florida Congressman Alcee Hastings, who three times has blocked the Palm Springs trach on consolidation, told attendees his calls and letters to the FAA have been ignored. Up next on ANN, Boeing and Airbus are powerless to stop their WTO fight. An F-16 pilot is okay after ejecting near Key West. And the Coast Guard's search for a missing Hawaiian pilot is officially ended. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 17th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing's law firm says it does not expect a negotiated settlement between the United States and the European Union before opposing government subsidy complaints make it through the World Trade Organization. Boeing and Airbus have each charged the other with benefiting from government subsidies which violate free trade agreements. Airbus says Boeing's research for the Defense Department and its local tax incentives for plants are subsidies. Boeing points to over $200 billion in subsidies to Airbus, including government loans which have not been repaid. The WTO hears only cases brought by member governments, so officially, this matter is between the U.S. and the EU. Both Boeing and Airbus parent EADS have said they'd like to settle the dispute, but that's not their call. Thomson Financial cites a report from the French press agency, which in turn says it was told by Robert Novick, a lawyer from Boeing's Washington law firm, WilmerHale, quote, "I would be surprised that we see a negotiated settlement before the ruling against Airbus is issued," unquote. A ruling from the WTO on the U.S. complaint is expected by April, and a decision on the EU charges by fall. Investigators are looking into the Tuesday evening ditching of a U.S. Air Force F-16 fighter in the Gulf of Mexico. Homestead Air Force Base spokesman Tim Norton says the unidentified pilot ejected moments before it crashed west of Key West, Florida, about 7:30 p.m. local time. The pilot was quickly rescued by a Navy helicopter, taken to a local hospital, and released following a quick evaluation. Norton told the Associated Press the F-16 was on a routine training mission. The pilot is assigned to the 482nd Fighter Wing at Homestead. The U.S. Coast Guard has officially ended its search for a pilot known to have gone down in the Pacific on Monday. Officials announced on Tuesday afternoon that after a search covering about 200 square miles, no additional debris had been located. Lieutenant Walter Daniel offered, quote, "Our thoughts and prayers go out to the missing pilot. We have exhausted all our resources and covered all the search area," unquote. The pilot, 38-year-old Paul Akita, flew for Alpine Air. He was flying from Honolulu to Lihue to deliver over 2 tons of mail when his Beechcraft 1900 twin went down in waters south of Kauai, about 7 miles south of his intended destination. KITV News reports search teams found some debris, including a door, on Monday morning. The crash happened before the FAA opened its Lihue tower at 6 a.m. local time. When Akita never called in to close his flight plan, the FAA called Alpine Air both in Honolulu and Utah to try to find the pilot, but got no answer at either number. Spokesman Ian Greger says, quote, "We then contacted an airline pilot who had landed at Lihue just before Alpine was scheduled to arrive, and we asked the airline pilot if Alpine was there. The airline pilot apparently mistook another Beechcraft King Air for the Alpine plane and informed us that, yes, Alpine had landed," unquote. Greger says it wasn't until Alpine Air called controllers about 7 a.m. to ask about their missing pilot that the FAA put the pieces together and notified the Coast Guard, and the search got underway. Akita is reported to have paid his way through his commercial pilot certificate by teaching surf lessons. Lockheed Martin is excitedly reporting that a GPS Block 2R satellite launched from Cape Canaveral on December 20th was put through its on-orbit checkout and readied for use in just 3 days. That joint accomplishment by Lockheed and the U.S. Air Force is a new record, and it allowed the satellite to be declared operational for both military and civilian users on January 3rd. Designated GPS 2R-18M, the satellite is the fifth in a series of 8 Block 2RM spacecraft that Lockheed Martin Navigation Systems has modernized. New features enhance operations and navigation signal performance for military and civilian GPS users around the globe. Still ahead, NTSB says the non-instrument pilot took off into IMC. U.S. machinists lobby the Air Force to pick Boeing over Northrop Eads. And how not to label your baggage if you want to avoid theft. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, January 17th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The National Transportation Safety Board has updated its investigation of a 2006 crash that took the lives of 2 University of North Dakota students. On December 1, 2006, about 6:30 p.m. Central Time, a Cessna 172L was destroyed when it impacted terrain near Crookston, Minnesota. NTSB found the flight was operating in instrument conditions without a flight plan. The pilot and his passenger departed Crookston Municipal Airport Kirkwood Field about 6:15. The factual report notes that instrument conditions appear to have been a significant factor in the accident that took the lives of 18-year-old pilot Jacob Ruth and 19-year-old passenger Jacob Sundblad. The pilot was not instrument rated and had not logged any actual time in clouds. Records show conditions had deteriorated to 1 mile visibility. In his weather briefing, the pilot was told a front was approaching, but that visibilities in the area were expected to remain above 7 miles. He was told that precipitation was coming. A probable cause report may be issued within the next few weeks by the NTSB. While the Air Force tries hard to stick to its bid specs in evaluating proposals for its new aerial tanker, outside voices continue to lobby for their favorites. Boeing and a Northrop Eads consortium are competing for the contract with tanker designs derived from the Boeing 767 and the Airbus A330 airliners. Last week, Eads made a very public announcement that it would bring more work to Alabama if it was chosen. Boeing hit back with a study showing its design would require significantly less fuel to operate. On Tuesday, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers joined the fray, suggesting that if the Air Force awards the contract to Eads Northrop, it would be the equivalent of corporate outsourcing of U.S. jobs. The 3 major concerns voiced by the union were unfair competition due to government subsidies to Airbus, the idea that the KC-30 tanker would be built in Europe and just finished and outfitted in the U.S., and the recent insider trading scandal at Airbus. The union's published statement concludes, quote, "Congress and the Department of Defense should award the Air Force's tanker contract to the company with the best aircraft that also plays fairly," unquote. As ANN has reported, Boeing is also the subject of a trade dispute filed by the EU regarding subsidies and has endured its own scandals. A legend among flight instructors has passed away in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Eddie Dufard, who taught over 5,000 people how to fly and logged over 65,000 hours doing it, passed away Monday at the age of 86. Dufard was a World War II Navy veteran and later worked for chemical manufacturing and supply company Ethyl Corp. But he spent much of his time either at Metro Airport or plying the skies above it. Former student Thomas McGuire recalled, for the Baton Rouge Advocate, quote, "It was his passion, and he gave it to others. He absolutely loved being in the air," unquote. Another student, Chuck Harris, said the lessons he learned from Dufard probably saved his life at least twice. He said Dufard used humorous sayings to make important lessons stick, including, quote, "The only time you got too much gas is when you're on fire," unquote. His 1976 Piper PA-28 Archer II was plastered with such signs, as Harris recalled. Dufard was said to have been in declining health but good spirits in the days before his death. He's survived by Rose, his wife of more than 60 years. A memorial service is planned for tomorrow. And finally, here's a story chock full of people who just didn't think things through. The Associated Press reports that two baggage handlers at JFK International Airport are under arrest for stealing $250,000 in jewels out of a container from Switzerland bound for Brazil. A 51-year-old worker and his 39-year-old supervisor each face up to 15 years in jail on charges of grand larceny and possession of stolen property. It's probably also safe to say they won't get a good reference from whatever airline was employing them. That company wasn't identified, but police did say the loot was found in a locker in the American Airlines terminal at JFK. Now we come to the part I don't understand. Whatever genius in Switzerland packed the gems labeled the container high value. Given all the reports of thefts from airline baggage, is that really something you want to do? And the other part, if you're a baggage handler with no morals, and if you know investigators are conducting stings with planted valuables just to see if you'll take them, what are you thinking to break the seals on an international shipment labeled high value? Personally, I would have labeled the container with something less appealing. Caution, may cause skin rash. Or maybe, warning, live poisonous tarantulas. Or I know, attention, biopsy lab, contains fluid samples. Yeah, that one would do it. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we finish up this week's coverage of Eclipse's big announcement of new funding and a Russian assembly plant. ANN's Rob Finfrock talks one-on-one with Eclipse CEO Vern Rayburn. And if you haven't gotten to it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.